Although in the function,
Eshu,
these, Guneshu, the most mature nature, Gunavan, affected by the modes,
Eva,
as if, Antaha, within, Pravista, entered into. Abhati appears to be Vijnanena by transcendental consciousness. Vijrimbita fully enlightened. Translation. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. Translation responsibly. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature, and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. Purport. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the Lord, and the conditioned living entities who are unfit for the spiritual kingdom are strewn within the material world to enjoy matter to the fullest extent. As Paramatma, an eternal friend of the living entities, the Lord, by one of his plenary portions, accompanies the living entities to guide them in their material enjoyment and to become witness to all activities. While the living entities enjoy the material conditions, the Lord maintains his transcendental position without being affected by the material atmosphere. In the Vedic literatures, Shruti, it is said that there are two birds in one tree. One of them is eating the fruit of the tree while the other is witnessing the actions. The witness is the Lord, and the fruit eater is the living entity. The fruit eater, living entity, has forgotten his real identity and is overwhelmed in the fruitive activities of the material conditions. But the Lord, Paramatma, is always full in transcendental knowledge. That is the difference between the super soul and the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, the living entity, is controlled by the laws of nature, while the Paramatma, or the super soul, is the controller of the material energy. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ajnana Shalakaya Chakshum Intam Nila Tasmai Shri Guru Pai Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sati Tanyana Antale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Antalati Swaparantikam Mukham Karoti Vashlam Pangun Langayate Girim Yakipata Maham Bande Shri Guru Dinatari Nam Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanivyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're still almost finishing this second chapter, which is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. So here the specifications are being given as to which, what, or who our service should be performed for. As we heard in text 28 to 29, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramukha, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya. That in the revealed scriptures, the ultimate goal Object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifices to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All food of activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. So in this certain section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing unto whom our activities and our life really should be aimed towards, Vasudeva Krishna. And the next chapter is going to be explaining the different incarnations of Krishna and how they come to perform certain pastimes, exhibiting certain potencies to different, to varying degrees, as the Lord desires for the pleasure of His devotees. So here we're hearing about the Lord's feature as the Super Soul, the Paramatma aspect, and how by this plenary portion of the Lord, He Himself enters into the heart of the living entities to guide them in their journey throughout the different species of life. So that mainly we can understand the main difference between us and Krishna, that Krishna in His different expansions always remains Satchitananda. He always knows His eternal position. He's never in forgetfulness. He never assumes any material form. Even while He descends to the material domain, to the material sphere, whereas the living entity, the Jivatma, because of his ability or his situation of wanting to lord it over material nature, the living entity comes into forgetfulness as soon as he comes in contact with matter. So the automatic result of touching matter is forgetfulness or ignorance. But for Krishna, he actually doesn't touch matter. Krishna is always pure. Just as, you know, when the wind or when the air is blowing, it carries different aromas, but in itself it doesn't get contaminated. It just takes the flavor, it takes the different smells of the different environment that it's in. Or the sun at any point doesn't get contaminated. It always remains pure, maintaining the same temperature, although at some points of the day or some times of the year the sun is distinctly away from certain regions and more manifested in certain regions. Or when the cloud covers the sun, it doesn't mean that the sun is not there. It's always pure, it's never contaminated. So Krishna and His Paramatma feature, although residing within the material bodies of different living entities, He never gets put into ignorance. Just as Krishna is telling Arjuna on the battlefield that He has taken many births and He Himself remembers each and every single one of them, but the living entity, in this case Arjuna, cannot remember them because he's not Para Brahman. He's limited. He's Tetragya in the sense that he knows the activities happening in one body, not the multifarious activities happening in the three quarters of the creation, of the material sphere, etc. So the Lord Vasudev, expanding Himself in His plenary aspect, the Super Soul or Antarami, He actually resides within the heart of each living entity. And when you reside somewhere, it doesn't mean that you're just remaining inactive, you're just sitting, waiting for someone to speak to you or waiting for activities to happen. But because the Parabrahman, the Super Soul, has unlimited potency, this is Krishna in His different aspect, He has unlimited potency, therefore He's allowing certain things to happen. He's permitting activities, He's sanctioning different activities of the conditioned soul in the material world. And the Super Soul aspect is not present in the spiritual domain because there no one is in ignorance, no one is in forgetfulness. Now they know that Vasudev is the ultimate goal of life and service to Him is the topmost activity. But in the material world, we are understanding that because of our forgetfulness and contamination from matter, we need guidance and we need assistance. Therefore, at the beginning of creation, when the Purusha avatars are there, the Mahavishnu starts expanding Himself in different ways into the different material universes and into the hearts of the living entities, so that the living entities at some point can get guidance as to what the ultimate goal of life is. So we have to understand that Krishna is with us all the time, that we're never alone. And sometimes we feel like we're loners, no one's there. You're in a certain predicament, especially, for example, if you're traveling and you have problems, you get at the immigration and something went wrong with the visa, or they don't know which passport you have. It happens to me every time I travel. No one knows where Botswana is, so they scratch their heads. They don't know what the code is, the country code, and so many things. So then I figured out, okay, each time I go through, as soon as I usually used to stop for like 10 minutes and hold up the queue, and they're trying to figure out what's happening. And I just tell them, okay, the country code is BW and the reference number is certain, and there you go. And they're like, oh yeah, thank you, you can go. So they become bewildered because they have no idea of where the heck I'm from. Anyway, so the super soul reside in each and everyone's heart. And if we understand this simple fact, we can make very, very rapid progress in our spiritual life, because then we're not just depending on our own mental whims. We're not depending on our own strength, because on our own strength, Krishna says, not only it's not difficult to cross over the ocean of material existence, it is impossible by our own strength to actually overcome this Daivi, this energy of his. So it's not that we can mentally do it with our own strength, because we should understand, when Prabhupada is explaining how since time immemorial we've been identifying with one of the 8.4 million species of life, which has left a lot of conditioning, which has left a lot of nonsense, a lot of misidentification. And in that sense, sometimes it becomes very, very difficult to know how to act and how not to act and how to take guidance. But Krishna is very merciful that he accompanies us, and by the mercy of the super soul, we get certain realizations. By the mercy of the super soul, if we're getting to a certain point where we're feeling enthused to understand more about what the goal of life is, the super soul further manifests himself in the form of the spiritual master to give further guidance. So in that sense, we see that the super soul is active. The super soul is not inactive. Sometimes we see the pictures seated on a lotus. The super soul is within the heart of a living entity, and we might think he's just standing there. That's what the super soul does. He just stands, and we just carry out our activities. But as the example is given here from the Mundaka Upanishad, that the two birds sitting on a tree, one bird is just, you know, chirping away, trying to enjoy, thinking that they know how to enjoy. They have a certain body, and they know how that body should feel pleasure, how that body can derive the greatest satisfaction. And the other bird is just waiting, trying to see when will the foolishness end, so that he can give the real definition as to what his existence is about. So we cannot blame Krishna and say, Krishna, you should have told me a long time ago that I should stop eating these fruits. Our intrinsic nature, of course, is that we are eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. We're servants of Krishna. But we have one other twist to it, because we have minute independence, so we choose what we want to do. Krishna doesn't force at any time. So we choose whether we want to favorably serve Krishna or serve Krishna unfavorably through the material energy. And depending on how we desire to be in a relationship with Krishna, the super soul facilitates our activities. As it has been explained that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. Basically, whatever activity, no matter how big, how small, is carried out by the instruction of the Supreme Lord. So anything that we do in life, nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens just out of the blue. Krishna, the Supreme Creator, He is the Supreme Controller. Only He is the Controller. All other elves, all other living entities are servants of that one Master, Krishna. Although we might be elevated in different positions, whether from the level of the devatas or very powerful human beings, still we are servants of the Lord. And the Super Soul facilitates our desires. The next point that we can try and derive from this purport, specifically dealing with our material conditioning or material contamination, we acquire a certain body, gross body, a certain mentality, a certain mind frame based on the previous condition, the previous life that we were practicing, what our desires were, what we were cultivating. Therefore, we get given a certain body. So it's packaged in a specific way because that is what we desired. That is what we put our energies in our previous birth. So we get given a certain body, and within our mind there's a stock of unmanifested desires that are soon over time will start manifesting. So based on our mind and on our mental capacity, we create a network of illusion. We create a network of what we think life is about and how we can derive the best satisfaction out of that. And because Krishna is there witnessing our every action, Krishna witnesses our very action, so He responds and He reciprocates accordingly. Right, so it's not that everything is going on mechanically. Everything is going on what we desire, we will be rewarded with. That is what we're cultivating. Therefore, we experience material life. It all starts in the mind. Material existence is experienced in the mind and it ends in the mind. Because within our mind, we're just constantly planning. This is how I'm going to enjoy. This is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to control and be supreme and be almighty, etc., etc. And all these plans still also get baffled and they end in the mind at the same time. So we plan, we fail, and then we try and make more plans, and then we fail. Then mentally we try and figure things out, logically, philosophically, etc. So our mind is a tool that we use not only to, you know, elevate ourselves, but to also keep ourselves bound by the modes of material nature. So the jiva has that scope of being bewildered by the material energy. Even very, very powerful living entities, they get bewildered by the material energy. You have great sages who can expand themselves in different bodies, and they can make themselves present in 8 different places, etc. But not assuming their fullest potency in either of them. If we see Krishna's pastimes, especially when he's in Dwarka with his queens, Krishna is present simultaneously in all the castles, and he's exhibiting himself in the fullest capacity. It's not that he's diminishing himself or he's performing some magical feat. It's Krishna as he is in his original form. And he has the potency as the power of Brahma, as the Super Soul, to expand himself unlimitedly. But the living entity, the Jivatma, we cannot actually... We're very different from the Super Soul. We cannot expand ourselves as much. We cannot control to the fullest extent. We only have control over a limited body. Even sometimes we don't have control over our own body. Things just start happening to it. We have no control of. But the Super Soul, not only is he present in the heart of one living entity, but in all atoms. Krishna is present within the material world, and in the spiritual world, it is all Krishna. And that is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we cannot actually compare ourselves to Krishna at any point. We're similar in the sense that just as the spark of fire has the same potency as fire, if you leave, let's say, an iron rod in fire, for some time, it becomes like fire. So for us originally, we are coming from Krishna. So we have the same Satchit Ananda qualities as Krishna, but to a very, very limited degree, not in greatness. We are similar, we are like Krishna in quality, but never ever in quantity. So just as we see Krishna's pastimes in different yugas, in different incarnations, he comes, he descends in his original transcendental form, and he descends with his intimate associates, he descends with his close friends, with his family, etc. And they also have their original spiritual forms. But the activities that Krishna performs and the activities that we perform are very different. As the past few weeks we've been hearing different pastimes of Krishna, especially before we begin with the month of Damodar, we see Krishna's pastimes and how supremely attractive they are for everyone. Our pastimes, I don't know, for myself, I don't think my activities attract masses of people. I don't think I attract people the way that Krishna does through his activities. If we see a child causing mischief around Swanson Street or around the temple, everyone doesn't just fall down and in awe, just get absorbed in that child and want that child to go home with them. When the child starts screaming, starts pinching others, or passes water, or passes stool, you know, it's not exactly, you know, a very warm, fuzzy feeling for us. Oh, sweet, oh, this is, oh, so beautiful, oh, I have so much love for you. We don't necessarily feel like that. But when Krishna performs his activities, when Krishna acts like this, everyone, all the mothers, all the gopas, all the young cowherd men and women, they become attracted to Krishna even more than their own children. As explained, when Krishna had manifested himself after Brahma had stolen the cows and the calves and the cowherd boys, and Krishna expanded himself as the same cows and calves, cowherd boys, their mothers just started having even more affection for Krishna as the cows. So they started experiencing more and more affections for their so-called children, but it was Krishna, inevitably. So they couldn't understand, why is it that today I'm experiencing even more love for my child? Why is it today that, you know, the cows, I'm getting into ecstasy just being in their presence? So this is the potency of Krishna. This is how Krishna makes you feel. When you're in contact with Krishna, when you have a direct link or association with Krishna, you cannot help but be attracted, because he is supremely attractive. He is Krishna, the all-attractive personality. In his different incarnations, we hear the pastimes of Hiranyakashipu. I mean, no one would think, you know, you go up to your friends, oh, Krishna is so amazing, he appears as a half-man, half-lion, he's so beautiful, he has, you know, half men, half lions. So this is beautiful for a devotee. But for a non-devotee, they do not understand that there's beauty, there's attraction in Krishna in that specific form. Or we hear of the pastime of Lord Varaha. That one always shocks people. Lord Boar in Hiranyaksha. So they're thinking, your God comes as a hog. How is it possible, and how do you find these pastimes attractive? God as a fish, right? Matsyadev. Or coming as Hamsa avatar. So people get bewildered by them, but they do not understand that Krishna has the same potency, his forms have the same potency. He's not diminishing himself in any of his expansions. They come, of course, with a certain mood to deliver a particular message or to enact specific pastimes, but he's still as potent. So this is the Supreme Lord, this is the Supreme Controller. He controls the material energy. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's an entire chapter dedicated to the modes of material nature. And in so many different chapters, these modes are discussed as well. In the 18th chapter, five different chapters in Bhagavad Gita, four or five, they're discussing, mentioning the modes of material nature, explaining the intensity of the modes of material nature, and how it is practically for a living entity, for a jiva, it is practically impossible to conquer the modes of material nature. They only become conquerable once you directly approach the master of the modes of material nature. Once you directly approach Krishna, then you can deal with the modes of material nature. But unless you have a direct contact with Krishna, you cannot overcome the modes of material nature. And it's explained in the 14th chapter that these modes, they are constantly there's a constant competition between these modes. So they're trying to bombard you in every single way. You know, when the sun comes out, you know, the mode of passion is pushing you to act in a certain way. When the sun goes down and when it starts getting dark, you know, Rajaguna starts pushing you in a specific way. So the mode of passion and ignorance, they start dictating what you should do. And because neither one of the modes is ever supreme, we're always in the mixed modes. We can either be really, really passionate and be struck by the mode of ignorance, or we may try and cultivate the mode of goodness by rising early, following certain principles, chanting, becoming vegetarian, eating a specific diet, having a specific lifestyle, which will help us be able to grasp more transcendental knowledge and a knowledge about Krishna. So it's very, very important to understand that as jivas, as living entities, to actually overcome the modes of material nature, sometimes we may say passively, I'm under the modes, or I'm in the mode of passion right now, or I'm very tamagun, I'm very muti, or this, etc., etc. We should understand how to get out of those modes. That if we perform service, devotional service for the pleasure of Vishnu, as the previous text, also in the previous chapter, that devotional service should only be directed to Vishnu, Krishna. No other empowered living entity, not demigods, not Lord Indra or Lord Shiva, but Krishna, Vishnu specifically. So if we understand that to actually get out of these clutches of the modes of material nature, we have to attach ourselves to Krishna. As long as we do not do that through the process of devotional service. And this is, Prabhupada was mentioning that you get to extricate yourself from the modes of material nature by performing service. Practical service. You engage all your senses in devotional service. We do not just sit idly and pray and hope that I'm in the temple room, the modes are not coming. Prabhupada says this temple is Vaikuntha. So as long as I'm in this room, you know, I'm not in Maya. Or I'm in the temple, I'm very, very protected. Yes, that is there. But still, Maya, the external energy, is very, very powerful. She will infiltrate. Just as sometimes you think you sealed off everything and it starts raining, there'll be one little crack somewhere and water will come in. So this is similar. When you're living in the material world, we try to armor ourselves as much as possible against the effects of the modes of material nature by performing devotional service. Not just by being good citizens, being nice people. I mean, it's good to be nice, but if you have plans of getting out of bondage, out of repeated birth and death, you can be nice, but then you have to start working towards other activities. The mode of goodness as we know it is never in its pure form in this material world. And some people may become attracted to the mode of goodness, but that also causes bondage. And we cultivate mode of goodness so that we can use it to help us easily get into the process of devotional service. So we try and imbibe that consciousness internally and externally, trying to overcome the lowest modes, Rajagun and Tamagun. So we use the mode Sattva Gun so that we get further elevated. to Vishuddha Sattva, the transcendental mode where we're not affected by the coming and goings, by fame, by infamy, etc. So all our activities will be dovetailed towards devotional service. But if we're not engaging in devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Vishnu, chances are Maya will find her ways to infiltrate through your consciousness. So the mind and the consciousness that is carrying previous samskaras, previous impressions that over time just start manifesting. Krishna pushes things forward through time. Krishna changes through time. Krishna maintains through time. So we are in a position where it is very easy for us to get bewildered by the modes of material nature. It is very easy. Because at this point we're just very tiny, insignificant in this material world. So if you want to be protected at all times, then we have to connect ourselves to the super soul, someone who can actually take you out of the suffering of the modes of material nature. But we cannot approach someone who himself is covered by the modes. Then what are the chances of our elevation? That's why in the 14th chapter as well, Arjuna then starts asking, what are the attributes or qualities of a person who is not affected by these modes of material nature? So you know that he's a ghost. Even the nectar of instruction is explaining that he has controlled mind and senses. He's not affected by fame and infamy. And he understands who's the control of these modes of material nature through knowledge, through Shastra. And by putting that into practice, he's further moved away and away from the modes of material nature. And Krishna, by dint of his devotional service, Krishna gives him the realization from within the heart. So the super soul gives him realization, just as the super soul gave Pingala the realization about her foolish activities in the material world. So the super soul is acting to fulfill our desires, no matter how rotten, no matter how fruitful, no matter how insignificant or major, the super soul acts to fulfill all our desires. So we should be careful each day and try to desire to be with Krishna. Try to desire to serve Krishna. And because Krishna is in the heart, Krishna will arrange situations where we can actually serve him. So it actually, a lot of it is resting on us if we're desiring properly. Then when Krishna sees that sign, Krishna starts reciprocating. You take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10. He closes one door and then he opens 10 other doors behind you. You think this is the end. Krishna has taken this away. I cannot function in this environment. I only want to be in Australia. I only want to be in Melbourne. I can't function at all. Krishna closes that chapter and then he opens up another avenue for you to practice devotional service. So we should see that the super soul is very much active in trying to facilitate our understanding of who we are and who he is. That's why this analogy is given of the two birds sitting on the tree. As soon as you turn towards Krishna, then Krishna starts opening up avenues for you to realize your eternal position, that you are not meant to enjoy the modes of material nature. You're not meant to be in the material world, going through different bodies, different material bodies, and suffering. So the Krishna, in his expansion as the super soul, he's all pervasive. He is manifesting himself in a specific way to aid and to give protection and shelter to the living entity. So the living entity should take advantage of the super soul, who is in control of the modes, so that we get off the material consciousness, we get off material existence, and we enter into a transcendental state of existence still within this material world. It is possible. It's Krishna's energy. He can transform it at any minute. Just as Krishna says that when he sees the living entity is sincere in his efforts to understand him, he asks the material energy to move away from that devotee. So this is mentioned in the 14th chapter. Krishna asked, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna will ask the material energy to slacken or to reduce her trident. And in this way we make further progress in spiritual life, and we make lots and lots of advancement. And we get to understand that only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by devotional service we can understand Him, we can know Him in full. I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, any? Well, because Krishna is... How do you connect that Krishna is the Super Soul in the heart and He's coming in His Acharya-Vigraha form at the same time? How do we connect with both? Well, Krishna in the heart, because Krishna has unlimited potency, Krishna is manifesting Himself in different ways. Krishna is manifesting in His paintings, in His pictures, through different elements, through His Acharya-Vigraha form, and He's the Super Soul within the heart. But most of the time we're not pure enough to actually experience that the Super Soul is in the heart. So the Super Soul becomes merciful and He drives us in a certain direction, that we come into association with the deity form, we come into association with His books, we come into direct situation where we can actually perceive Him. So it... In the long run, it becomes difficult for us. It's explained in the pastime of King Puranjana, the allegory that's given in the Bhagavatam about how when the time is ready, the Super Soul manifests Himself externally. So if we're sincere, if we're searching, but at the same time we're not really pure to understand the dictates of the Super Soul, or we confuse it with the dictates of the mind, so He will manifest Himself in different ways, starting off with the spiritual master, who will then engage us in devotional service and teach us how to serve Krishna. So the Super Soul resides in the heart, and at the same time, He comes as the Acharya-Vigraha form, so that He can actually purify us, because then we'll engage in His service and we'll make spiritual benefit. So because we're not really, well, at this point, I'm not really... cognizant that the Super Soul is in my heart. So He mercifully comes in His Acharya-Vigraha form, first as the spiritual master, then you get engaged in devotional service, and then you can start to understand, yes, Krishna has a form, Krishna is a person, He has activities. But on the platform of the Super Soul being situated in the heart, for some of us it still hasn't clicked. So gradually, when I say the Super Soul, He's not just sitting there, He's arranging things for us to understand Him. He's arranging us to be in association of the devotees, to be in a temple, to be in association of His books, so that gradually we realize that I'm never separated from Krishna. He always resides with me as the Super Soul. So gradually we should come to that point. And we see very, very advanced devotees, sometimes when they speak, or you know, when they're writing literatures, they pray to the Lord and everything gets revealed in the heart. By dint of our devotional service, when our heart is purified, all the imports of the Vedas get revealed from within the heart. Is that alright? Any other question?
Just a comment.
Yep.
If you read the Anshachri Kapriti from the deities, it said that you won't have success in deity worship unless you acknowledge that the other devotees are serving the deities, so that's their teachings.
That's why it's explained to us, before you begin deity worship, you understand that you're actually assisting your spiritual master in worshipping Radha and Krishna. Although it's to understand that it's kind of like, well, I'm there doing it. But actually we're assisting the spiritual master, because, you know, at this neophyte level, how can we, you know, Radha Krishna? How do we understand? How do we know? So the spiritual master, by his potency as well, it explains different verses that the spiritual master never leaves the service of Krishna in Vrindavan. Right, so there's some potency there that Krishna allows to happen, and we get engaged in that service in deity worship, but we're actually just assisting the spiritual master. So we see that, you know, we're, and it always brings us back to the humble position that we're actually just servants. Even in the higher realms, the sakis and the gopis, they have their chief gopi who engages them in service. Although they're very advanced, it's Rati Manjari or Rupa Manjari, they are under the guidance of an elderly gopi serving the divine couple. And some of them, their service is, you know, just having some tambula leaves or a chamara. Now you might think, how hard is it to flick a chamara? You know, like, just pretty easy. You're just boiling some milk. You just boil the milk. But, you know, everything for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna is done in a specific way. So you get trained how to do that specific service expertly. So even if you are, you know, a gopi, a saki, a gopa, you are under the guidance of another one. So we're always being reminded that we're actually servants of Krishna. Oh, Mahatma Puri, your hand was up.
I think you're following me. What point I was saying is, like Srila Prabhupada, he desired to serve Krishna, so he could get up, he would sleep 10:32, 12:30, get up whole night, he's translating Bhagavatam. And then Srila Prabhupada says that actually Krishna is directing me what to say, so whatever I have to say. So you can see how important it is to completely surrender and give him.
Same with Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, when he writes the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's explaining how he's old, he's an invalid. It is not possible for him to write anything. The Lord is writing through him.
Right.
So
the other point is that he is the real pati. Pati means husband. He's the husband of me.
Yeah.
All women, all men. We are just a material body. Male, female.
That's right.
So we have to serve our pati. He's the real pati.
Jagatpati, yes, I agree. So we serve Krishna. Krishna is the mother. Krishna is the father. He's everything. There's only one male, and we are all Prakriti, meant to be enjoyed by Krishna.
And as you said, you get the Supreme Mother, you guide us how to serve. So the body is open, clean. Perfect.
Jai Ho. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Prabhupada Ki. Zanita Gopta Manandi.